We have been looking over the last 2 weeks at those enemies of the heart, those things that cause us to need to protect our heart. Remember, Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not what goes into our mouth that contaminates us, it's what comes out of our heart. And so we have looked at two things already: guilt, the idea that I have something, a secret that I want others not to know about. I feel guilty because of something I've done, so I am hiding that. I'm not telling anyone, and I don't want you to know about it. Because of that, I may not have the relationship with you I need to have. I don't have the relationship with God I need to have. We notice that the answer to guilt is confession. We talked about anger last week. Anger is the idea that you owe me something. You have offended me in some way. You have done something that I am angry about. And it is the idea that I want something from you. You owe me an apology. You owe me an explanation, whatever it may be. The way we deal with our anger, forgiveness. This morning I want to look at another one of these things that causes us to need to protect our heart. And these are not original with me, they come from Scripture, but a lot of the ideas that I'm sharing with you today actually come from another source. And I'm just trying to put it together in a way that it fits within our allotted time frame and to share it with you from God's Word. But the thing that I want us to consider today is a thing called greed. And yet greed is very damaging to the soul, because greed says what's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it. That was the attitude of the two that passed by the injured man that on the road that led from Jerusalem down to Jericho. You may remember the priest and the Levite. What's mine is mine. I'm not going to share it. I want to hold on to it. So they went around him. They went beyond him. But the interesting thing about greed is that greed is often difficult to identify in our lives, because we hardly ever think of ourselves as being greedy. You know, I've been preaching for a long time, and I have never had anyone come up to the front, sat on that pew, and say to me, "Jeff, I need the prayers of the church because I am greedy. I struggle with my greed." I've never had anybody say that to me, whether it's in a worship service or whether it's just out in the community talking to people. I have never in all of my years of being in the Lord's church had somebody say, "Jeff, I struggle with greed in my life." One of the reasons that we have difficulty saying that is because of how we hide it. And I want you to look at something. It's difficult for us to see greed in ourselves. It's difficult to see greed in ourselves because all too often we cover greed up with our virtues. Greedy people plan, but planning is good. Greedy people save money, but saving money is good. Greedy people plan for the future as far as their financial future, and yet they want to make sure it's secure, but that's good, right? All of those things are good, and so we don't often see greed in ourselves because of the way we tend to hide it. But we can spot it in someone else in a moment. And the reason we can is because we know that greedy people talk a lot about money. Greedy people worry about money. Greedy people are not cheerful givers. Remember, Paul said that we are to be cheerful givers. God loveth a cheerful giver. Greedy people are reluctant to share with others, and they do not like to lose. Greedy people are those that are always quibbling over insignificant amounts of money. You remember the statement about Judas when he was angry with the waste of the vial of perfume that was used to anoint Jesus? It could have been sold and used to give to the poor. And why does he say that? Because he had control of the money pouch and he was greedy. Greedy people talk as if they just have enough to get by. Greedy people like to create an atmosphere of secrecy about them. They don't like to tell you how much they may have or what they're doing with their money. But they won't let you forget what they have done for you. If they've helped you in any way, they're going to remind you that they've helped you. They've done something for you at some point in time. They're reluctant to express their gratitude. Greedy people aren't content with what they have. And they like to control other people with their money. We can spot greed in someone else a mile away, but we do not see it in ourselves. Now, greed is a heart issue. It's not a socioeconomic issue. Greed is not restricted to whether a person is poor or rich. There are greedy poor people. There are greedy rich people. Greed is not confined to our financial picture. By that I mean, if a person gains a great amount of money and becomes financially wealthy, it doesn't make them less greedy. And if a person has a financial loss, it doesn't make them more greedy. No, greed issues from the heart. I want you to consider some questions for just a moment. Is it hard for you to give away money? And add to that, are you quick to make excuses about why you can't give away money? Or maybe another one. Are you a person who asks questions that are designed to make you look as if you're a careful steward of money, but really those questions are more to give you an excuse not to use your money for something or to give it away to someone? And when you do give, do you feel that the recipient of your money owes you something? I have seen people and known people in the church that have used their money as a way to try to manipulate the eldership of the church. I contribute a good amount of money to this church. Let me tell you, you're not doing things the way they ought to be done. They use their money to try to control the church. Maybe that's why Jesus said in what George read for us just a moment, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Because he knew where greed issues from. It comes from the heart. It damages the soul. It controls us, and it makes us miserable people. And what drives a person that is greedy? It's fear. It's fear that either God will not or cannot take care of us in the way that we need to be taken care of. More specific, it's fear that God won't take care of us in the way we're accustomed or expect to be taken care of. And so what we do is we take it upon ourselves, greedy people do, we take it upon ourselves to make sure that we're doing everything possible to take care of ourselves in the way that we want to be provided for so that we can feel secure. The problem with that? There is no way for you to plan for every single contingency that can possibly occur in your life. If you're honest with yourself, you know that all it takes is one major catastrophe and it can wipe you out financially. Look at what happened to Job. Job was the wealthiest man in all of the East, and yet, in just a matter of time, in one day's time, he lost everything he had. Sickness. There are some illnesses today that can completely wipe you out. Catastrophe. Tornado strike your home. Fire burn up everything you possess. We could just name off all kinds of things that could take what we have. But yet, we think that we can make sure that we've covered our bases. The truth is, the greedy person is rarely secure. They're rarely at peace within themselves because they always think, I need just a little bit more. I need to have just a little bit more. Jesus issues a statement at the beginning of this parable that he tells after he says, beware and be on your guard. And then he makes this statement, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. But I believe there are people that actually believe that. My life is who I am. It's what I own. It's the things I have collected. It's what I have amassed. It's my standing in this community because of all that I've been able to gather to myself. That's my life. And maybe there are even some people in this congregation that have that idea, but Jesus says that's not what your life consists of. It's not the things that you have. And he begins to tell a parable about a wealthy landowner. Here's the way it plays out. This wealthy landowner is a farmer. In 1 year, he has an abundant harvest. So much so that his barns won't hold everything he's got. He has a dilemma. Where do I store this great abundance? Where do I put it back? How do I save it? Now, there are farmers in our audience. And I dare say there's not a farmer in this audience that would say that his abundant harvest was the result of his hard work. Because farmers realize all too often that no amount of hard work is going to guarantee an abundant harvest. There are too many other factors that figure in. If you've got a farm down on Cherry Bottom, all it takes is one big flood and you're starting over trying to replant. Some of our farmers in this country out in the Midwest have realized that no amount of hard work was going to help them through the drought that they have faced this year and lost massive amounts of money in crops that just have not produced. It's not the hard work. There's something else that figures into the picture. And that's what this farmer doesn't stop to take in. It is that God has blessed him with an abundant harvest. God is the one who provided this. And he believes in his heart that he has earned everything he has. He never considers that God had anything to do with it. Even if he had credited God with the bounty that he had received, he doesn't stop to think about what God might want him to do with that bounty. There's no doubt that God provided the extra. The problem is that the farmer never stops to ask the question, Lord, what would you have me do with my bountiful harvest? He doesn't ask that question. But then again, greedy people don't ask those questions. If a greedy person suddenly comes to an extra amount of money, they don't stop to ask, what do I need to do with this? How do I need to use this? Maybe God has given me some extra. In their minds, it's, oh, I deserve this. I earned it. It's mine. And the greedy person has already in their minds decided, I've got some things I can spend this on. I've got some things I've been wanting, so I'm going to use this. Or I'm going to put this back because it's going to serve me well down the road. See, that's what Jesus points out. I have much goods for many years. But the farmer overlooked something. And what the farmer overlooked was God. He was looking at his future. But there's something that he was not considering. His time that he had left upon the earth. You see, he assumed that his abundant crop meant that he was also going to have abundant time in which to enjoy the bounty of that abundant crop. He assumed that he had extra time. Not only was he dependent upon God for his abundant crop, he was also dependent upon God for any additional time he may have had in his life. And so he receives the bad news after he says, I'll tear down my barns, I'll build bigger barns, I'll store it all in them, and I'll say to myself, soul, you have much goods for many years, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God says something to him. He gives him the bad news. He says, tonight, this night, your soul will be required of you. And then whose will those things be? We know the answer to that. They weren't going to be his because he wasn't going to be here anymore. They were going to be passed on to other people. They were going to become things that other people would inherit, whether it's his children or maybe an estate sale and everything is sold off. It's interesting, isn't it? We spend our lives amassing all of the things that we have, and we build up these things, and we have garages that we put it in, and we have all of these things that we have bought down through our lifetime. And then have you ever been to an estate sale? You ever been to a final auction where the family is auctioning off everything that grandma has saved up or grandma and grandpa have had all their lives? It's interesting. Things that maybe were very sentimental or things that may have been had a good bit of money spent on them years ago suddenly go for pennies on the dollar because they don't have the same meaning to this person or they don't have the same value. And so you see the auctioneer. What am I bid for this box? Everything in this box right here. Because the person is no longer there. And it no longer belongs to that person anymore. It's gone. The warning that Jesus gives as He tells this is this. He says, a greedy person is that individual who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The wealthy landowner was poor toward God because the wealthy landowner was only thinking about how he could use what he had for his own private consumption. He was not thinking about how he could use it to serve God. And for that reason, God says to him, "You fool." Now, I want you to stop and ask yourself a question today. Here's the question. Why do I have so much? Now, you may be thinking, Jeff, you don't know me. I don't have a lot. I'm not a wealthy person. I don't have a lot. Yes, you do. This week I was looking, of the 6.6 billion people, actually right at 7 billion people upon the face of the earth, do you realize that 3.3 billion people live on an average of $2 a day? $2 a day. Some of you men spend more than that when you go to McDonald's and get your cup of coffee and sausage and biscuit in the morning. But that's what people live on. Half the world lives on that. You are the top 10% in the world. You are among the top 10% in the world. Let that sink in for just a moment. You have been blessed abundantly. But let me even take it a step further. Not just the question, why do I have so much? This question, why has God blessed me with such a surplus? Have you ever stopped to answer that question? Why has God blessed me? Why do I have so much? There are reasons that we could give. One reason may be, well, I have this much so that I can assure that my children have everything they need. I want to make sure that my children have it better than I have. But let me tell you something. You may have already thought through this, but here's something we need to consider, and it is this. Leaving our children a lot of money doesn't generally mean they're going to be successful in life. Solomon understood that when he wrote Ecclesiastes. And he talked about the man who labors all of his life to leave it to his children. And he says, who knows but what they will they use it wisely? Or will they waste it? More often than not, we see people whose problems began when they inherited a large amount of money. So I don't think that God leaves us money so that we can leave it to our children. That's not the main reason that we have the surplus that we have. We could say, God has left me all of this money, this surplus, so that I don't have to worry. God wants you to be able to lean on your financial assets so that you can have peace in all of the money that you've amassed over your lifetime. But let me ask you another question. How many of you who have more money worry about the money? Worry about what it's doing in the market. Worry about how much you're going to have. Worry about how you can get a little bit more or how you can just hold on to what you presently have. How many of you worried when the market took a dive and all of your retirement suddenly became worth half of what they had been? It's not so that we don't worry. Maybe God has given us our abundance so that we can elevate our standard of living. I want to live a little bit better. And Americans that we are, we have come to believe that our lifestyle should keep up with our income. Whatever my income is, that's what my lifestyle needs to be. It's sad, but the credit card industry has made it so that our lifestyle now exceeds our income because we just charge it. Or maybe God has given you this surplus so that you can retire early. That's what the wealthy landowner in Jesus' parable did. He retired early. And just as the wealthy landowner didn't think about being generous with his money, Neither did the landowner think about being generous with his time. So I have something that I want to share this morning. There are many Christians in the Lord's church who, because of hard work and good circumstances, have been able to amass a bit of money so that they can retire early rather than working maybe to the proverbial 65. And while it is possible for them to polish their clubs and head off for the links for the rest of their life and just enjoy a leisure life of playing golf, or to buy that boat they've always wanted and go spend time on the lake fishing, they've chosen to do something else with their lives. They've chosen to reinvest their lives by using the additional time and monies that God has given them to serve Him in His kingdom. They've decided, I have been given this for a purpose. God has allowed me this surplus so that I might use it faithfully in order to serve Him. These men, these individuals, men or women, are mature enough to realize that God hasn't just freed them up so that they can eat, drink, and be merry. That God has freed them up so that they can give themselves to a greater purpose. And the greater purpose is that they might use their lives faithfully in His kingdom. Maybe you're one of those individuals that God has blessed in that way. You've been able to retire early. My question to you is, what are you doing with your surplus money and your surplus time? Why not use it to serve God? Do you recognize that God has given it to you? But let me bring it from another direction. Do you remember when you were a child? And as a child, maybe you were sitting at your grandmother's kitchen table and your brother or your sister was there with you and there were two cookies that you had in your hand and your brother or your sister didn't have one. Remember what your mother or your grandmother said to you? What do you need to do? You need to share one of those with your brother. You need to share one with your sister. Why? Because you have two and they don't have any. You see, we learned that lesson long ago when we were children, but maybe as adults we've kind of forgotten that we need to share our abundance with those who don't have. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 42, give to him who asks you and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Jesus said, if you've been given an abundance, use it for others. If God has blessed you with more than you need, then you need to share what you have with those who have need. If we will embrace this simple truth, it will help us deal with the concept or the problem of greed in our own lives. You see, the answer to greed is generosity. Generosity with our money, generosity with our time. And yet we have to know this, that our greed will always supply us with a reason for not doing that. Our greed will always say, but now, you don't know what's going to happen to you down the road. You don't know but what you may need this money. Something may happen. Do we have faith that God will take care of us? Do we truly believe that He is faithful to us and what He says, worry not about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough problems. Today has enough problems of its own. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we're going to break the power of greed in our lives, we have to realize two things. Number one is this. We're going to leave it all behind when we go. Every bit of it's going to be left, which says something. We don't own it. Which brings me to point number two. God owns it. He owns all of it. Every bit of it. He's letting us manage it for a while, but it's His. And in preparation for the eventual building of the temple that his son would later build, Solomon, David set aside money for the building of that temple. A good amount of money, by the way. 3,000 talents of gold, 2,000 talents of silver, and there were others that followed suit among the rulers of the people that contributed abundantly. So much so that in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we find David blessing the Lord, verse 10. And then verse 11, here's what he says. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head of all. Everything is yours, O God. I realize that. That's what David is saying. Everything is yours. I understand that. And so here, take some of it back. Let me give as I can give for the building of your temple. When we realize that God owns it all, and it's not ours, isn't it easier to say to Him, what do you want me to do with it? Lord, you've given me an opportunity to retire early. You've given me this abundant amount of money. What do you want me to do with it now, Lord? How would you have me to spend it and to use my time to serve you? What about you? Have you asked God recently how He wants you to spend His money and your time? If not, is it because there's a problem with greed? You want to hold on to it. You want to tightly control it. You don't want to let go of it. It's mine. I worked hard for it. I earned it. I deserve to do what I want with it. Those were the words of the farmer. It's mine. I'm going to save it. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. But God's words to that farmer was, you fool. This night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will all these things be? Your life is His. But the question is, will you honor Him with your life? Will you confess the name of Christ and be buried with Him in baptism, repenting of sin and live for Him all the days of your life? Will you begin serving Him with the days He's given you left upon this earth? Or maybe as a child of God who hasn't honored Him, will you begin doing that today? Do you need to come and let us pray with you and for you as together we stand and sing?